One of the saddest memories from when I was rehabbing birds was when I received a call from the animal shelter in Superior. They had been brought a snowy owl and called me. The bird was in its final death throes when I picked it up, and it died in my arms. It went down to the Twin Cities for necropsy, but I never got the results. Starvation is not all that likely in snowies in our area, except as a side effect after injury, poisoning, or disease. Their exceptionally thick plumage makes it difficult at best to search out wounds and injuries, and I was so sad holding this tragic figure in my arms, so huge but so astonishingly light, that I didn't have the heart to stretch out its wings and legs and feel its bones to tell if it had a break. I couldn't help but feel the keel bone. The bird was emaciated, its flight muscles so atrophied that the keel, under the loose skin of the breast, felt like the front of a canoe. People have lovely, romantic impressions of this astonishingly beautiful owl. How can we not, with Harry Potter's memorable Hedwig? And real snowy owls are ever so much more thrilling than their fictionalized versions. This turns out to be a huge snowy owl invasion year. Snowy owl invasion years sometimes happen for 2 or 3 years running. The first year usually occurs not when the bird's prey is depleted, but ironically, when it's been most abundant. The favorite prey of snowy owls, and the one they most feed their young, is lemmings, which undergo huge population swings. In most years, a pair of snowy owls produces about 3 to 5 young. In years when lemmings are exceptionally scarce, the owls may produce only 1 or 2, or sometimes none at all. But in years when lemmings are exceptionally abundant, that same pair of owls may produce as many as 7 to 11 young in a single brood. Come fall in those years when snowy owls become territorial, there are just not enough territories available for so many birds. The adults can chase off inexperienced younger birds, and the immature females, being so much larger than the immature males, can chase them off. So most sightings of snowy owls that first year of a snowy owl invasion usually involve sightings of immature birds, mostly males. But as with any generalization in the natural world, this is not universal. In February 2012, late in the stages of the first year's invasion, Russ and I visited New York City and brought our Katie and Michael to Rockaway Point, right next to the town of Breezy Point, where we saw 2 snowy owls. One was an immature male, but the other bore the immaculate white plumage of a very mature adult male. This year, the invasion includes many more adults in the mixture. At this point, it looks like the lemming population must be at low ebb, and so more owls are leaving their familiar home grounds and are turning up in a great many places. Snowy owls are a true tundra species, unfamiliar with trees, and adept at hunting in open areas near water, so they gravitate to cities, especially at airports and along beaches. A bird bander from Massachusetts Audubon has already trapped and relocated at least 20 from Logan International Airport. Airplane-bird collisions are always dangerous to people and always lethal to the birds, so removal is essential. Indeed, Logan was the site of the worst airplane-bird collision ever in terms of human lives lost when, in 1960, an Electra jet collided with a flock of starlings and 62 people were killed. At least 5 airplanes have already collided with snowy owls in the 3 New York airports. Snowy owls weigh less than 5 pounds, and these collisions caused very minor structural damage to the planes, even as they killed the owls. But these collisions can cause expensive damage and the loss of human life, so the New York and New Jersey airport authorities started shooting the birds. There really is no advantage to killing them over simply relocating them, and public outcry, mostly spearheaded by birders, was huge. Yesterday, the airport authorities issued a press release saying they are now working with the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation to relocate the birds. I love when people get out of debate mode so quickly, don't dig in their heels, and actually work together to solve problems. Makes me think there's hope for our species yet. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.